Do you know the song that we sing? It says, change and decay and all around I see. Mm-hmm. O thou who changest not, abide with me.
Yes.
You know, I look at the congregation here today and I see over the past years, some folks that are gone on to their reward. Lord, remember Lord. Sister Mary Lawson sitting over here year after year when we would come.
Yes.
And Aunt Nelda coming down here with us.
Yes, my Lord.
I've been thinking about just with Brother McCray not being able to be here.
Yeah.
Our song services are different.
Yeah.
I would sit behind Brother McCray when he was singing. He got into singing.
Mm.
Especially if he was leading the singing. I would watch him and it looked like he was driving a stick shift. Because he would shift out the gears as he'd have his head down and he's moving through the gears. You know, we've got a lot of memories of faithful folks.
Yes.
And I'm counting on the Lord helping Brother McCray to be right on back with us again.
Amen.
But what I want to share with you, we're left to carry on. And there's a verse that has stuck with me this week. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life.
Yes.
And I like for us to think about those two words, lay hold. Mm. Get a grip on it and don't let it go. As I was looking at this verse, a picture came to me of something when I was a boy. I had a little bulldog. He was just a pet. He wasn't, you know, a lot of times you hear about a bulldog and you're scared of them and all because they're fighters. Well, he wasn't. He was just a good pet. Well, one day I had a neighborhood dog, a big old dog, come over and jump on him, and he's eating him up. And I think, he's going to kill my little bulldog.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I noticed something. The little bulldog didn't try to run away. He just kind of kept looking up at the big dog.
Mm.
And then in a little bit, he made a jump, and he hooked him right here in the throat.
Lord.
Lay hold, he did. That big dog started swinging him around like a toy. But you know what that bulldog did? He just closed his eyes and he locked his teeth. And my dad stepped outside and he said, he's going to kill that big dog. I said, okay, I'll go pull him off. He said, oh no, don't do that. He said, you can't get him off. Said his teeth are locked on that throat. He said, the only way you're going to get him off, grab a water hose right quick. You're going to have to spray that dog till he's got to get a breath of air and let go. You know what happened when he let go? I don't know if I ever saw that big dog again. He was gone. He didn't want to come back no more. You know what we're going to have to do to make it over to the other side? I'm going to have to get a grip. I'm going to have to say, I mean to go right through. I mean to fight the fight of faith. No matter what comes my way, I have a plan to make it. Now, you know what? That in itself is not enough for me to just have a determination. I'm only going to make it through God's grace. But you know what? I also have a part to play. I have to get my eyes set and lay hold on eternal life. What I want to look at today, when does eternal life begin for the Christian? Is it, well, when I draw my last breath, I want to lay hold on eternal life? I thought about this. We have verses that says, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Those are true. We sing a song that says, the crowning day is coming by and by. But I think about Christian with Pilgrim's Progress. He laid hold on eternal life. When did that begin? I believe it began when he put his fingers in his ears and he started running toward the celestial gate, crying, life, life, eternal life. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yes.
The determination is not, I don't want to just be at my last breath. I want to lay hold on eternal life. I want to lay hold on it right now and let it build as I go. Christian had a determination to make it to the celestial city. Did he have failures? He sure did. You know, he didn't go very far until he fell off in the slough of despond. You ever had a despondency want to come on you? What I like about his story is he always crawled out on the good side of the problem. He always crawled out on the Celestial City side. I'm still going on. I'm going to be able to make it. You remember he came to the place where he rested in the arbor, and as he slept for a little bit, his certificate dropped out that he's going to need at the gate. He started out in a hurry and realized it's gone. I've got to do something. So he turned around and went back. Got it. Turned again to the Celestial City. I'm going to make it. For us, we're going to have to be able to make it. We have a lot of things that want to turn us around, but I want to be faithful to the Lord and make heaven my home.
Yes.
We've got to have some resolutions in our life. In Isaiah 50 and 7, it talks about having my face like a flint. You know, that means something pretty hard. Is that hard-headed? No, but I think what it is a resolution. I mean to go through and make heaven my home. No matter what it takes, I want to be able to make it.
Yes.
There's a song that says, many there are that start in the race.
That's right.
But with the light, they refuse to keep pace. Many accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go through. Well, you know what? I don't have much that I can do but pray for others that everyone be able to make it. But there is something I need to do. I need to have a resolve myself. And that song says, but I'm going through. I'll pay the price whatever others do. It doesn't matter what other people do. I'll pay the price to be able to make it. There is a song that we sing, that number 363. Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? You know what? It's a choice that I'm going to make. I think everybody in the world would say, I plan to wear that crown. I plan to make heaven my home. But you know what it says? Let my anchor be grounded so deep in the rock till the storms of this life all are past, that I firmly endure all the things that can come to me in my life. I firmly endure because with the Lord's help, I plan to make heaven my home. And you know, Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us we're not fresh out on this. Nobody else has tried it. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, successful people in their walk with the Lord that stepped over and made heaven their home.
Yes.
And I am very thankful for that history that we have throughout the Bible. But you know, we don't have to just go back 2,000 years to find successful Christians. We find them in 2024 that have put their hand in the Lord's, whatever you send my way, I'll make it. I just think of at Cheryl's funeral, Dan Gillenbeck was there. Lori Cole was there. You know, they didn't have any idea that 3 weeks from there, their time would be called. You know, and we don't have a promise of our tomorrows. So what I want to do is I want to fight the good fight of faith. I want to lay hold on eternal life today in decisions that I'm making, in places where the devil comes against me with discouragement or whatever. You know, he knows what each one of us, our weak place is. He's not going to try to tempt us with sin where he knows that's a waste of time. But you know what? He will know to slip in a little unforgiveness. Every one of us have felt, at least, that we were wronged at some time. And you know how, if we're not careful, you just don't want to hardly release it real quick because it'd almost be like it didn't hurt you. But you know, there are some places in the Bible that tells me if I want to lay hold on eternal life, it says, I mean, it just comes out real, real clear to me. It says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You know, if I want to lay hold on eternal life today, I want to take all these little places that would cause me to lose my grip, and I want to turn those things loose to be able to make heaven my home.
Amen.
If we looked at the 6th chapter of John, that chapter covers a big range of emotion in one chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, they were so happy with Jesus that he had to go hide himself because they wanted to make him king. And then he started teaching them what it was going to be like to be a follower of His, the trouble that you're going to have to be willing to go through. And it goes on down there and says some things about, before the end of the chapter, many walked no more with Him. From the point at the beginning, they were wanting to make Him king. Well, there's one reason for that. He'd been feeding them. And, you know, if you can get free food, you want that person to stay in office and keep on serving you. They would like to make Him king if I can get free meals tomorrow and He'd be able to help me out. But when He starts telling about the difficulties that will be, eat my flesh and drink my blood, be a partaker of the sufferings that I'll go through, you be willing to be a follower of Me. It said many walked away and went no more with Him. To the point that He asked, you know, He's down to maybe 12 now. And He says, will you also go away? There's something that we need to know about Jesus from this. He could have said, you know what, I'm going to have to change my plan here because I'm losing too many folks. He didn't change the plan. The plan remained the same. What He did, I'm down to 12 now. It's still the same requirements. What did He ask him? Are you going to also go away? I love what Peter had to say to Him. Lord, where are we going? You have the words of eternal life.
Yes.
This laying hold on eternal life, I'm not going to get it any other way but to follow You. You know, I see the rich young ruler had a desire to lay hold on eternal life. He came running to Him. Good Master, what do I need to do to get the very thing we're talking about this morning so that I can inherit eternal life? And the Lord laid out to him. For laying hold on eternal life for him, he had this requirement that he needed. What did it say about? It said he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. There's going to be a lot of things come to us in our life that's going to want to cause us to lose our grip. There's a verse that says, you did run well. But you know, that's a past tense. You did run well. What did hinder you that you did not obtain the truth? I don't want to have the Lord. You remember there are some other places. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. I don't want the Lord to be able to say to me, yeah, you know, years ago you were walking close to me. For me to lay hold on eternal life, I'm going to have him saying to me today, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we just have some more time yet to go. What can happen to cause me to lose my grip on eternal life? I thought about Jacob. We don't get all the story there. It just says a little something. He wrestled with a man. Now, I just wonder, here it's nighttime. How did that start? You know, did it start thinking, well, somebody's trying to get my billfold. Something's happening here, and I'm going to wrestle him. But you know, before it was over, he realized, wait, this is something totally different. He's not out for my possessions. This is a spiritual battle that I'm up against. And you know, I think what happened when he realized that, he locked in. He said, I tell you what, I've been needing something. This here is a spiritual battle that I'm in.
All right, man.
I'm not going to let go.
Yes.
What did it say? The angel told him, the day is breaking. Let me go. You know, here it is. The angel saying, come on, let me go now. I need to get going. And Jacob said, nah, no, I'm not turning you loose until you bless me. You know, here we are in 2024. We need to lock on. I'm not letting go. Got to make it. You know what? Apostle Paul locked on. He had some troubles come his way, and you can read about them. I have never had the troubles, the kind that he has had. He went ahead and told how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten with rods, and how many times he received all these things that happened to him. And when he looked at it all, what did he say? These are light afflictions. They're just for a moment. You know what he had done? He had laid hold on eternal life before he ever got there. The one thing that helped him was he had a vision. When he explains the vision, you hardly could even tell it was him that he's talking about. But he had this vision of heaven, and I believe that vision stayed with him and helped him to lay hold on the reality of it. And I've often wondered, I wish I could read when that vision came to him. But I do know one place that it could have happened is when they stoned him outside the city. And those stoning thought he was dead and left. That's a good time for him to have a vision of heaven. Because he got up, went on to the next city. He didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm hiding myself. I'm through with this stuff. No, he had more troubles to come afterwards. But he was saying things that, I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with that. So, you know, this song that Brother Boyd had, Press On. That pressing is not because it's going to be an easy way. There's going to be things that are going to want to slow us down, trip us up, but just keep on pressing. What did it say, even one of them? Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. You know, again, I think about Apostle Paul. He had memory. He tells us that he went about from city to city, put them in jail and caused some of them to be put to death. And now he's traveling back around to minister to maybe some of those same places. You know what he said? I'm going to have to, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing, laying hold on those things that are out ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize. So it goes on down and tells us in Romans 8:35, who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? And it says, is it going to be this or this? And you know, in 2024, we can put our own list to it. What's out there to try to separate me from the love of Christ? But then it goes on down. There's not going to be anything. If I'm determined to make heaven my home, none of those things have to move me. Over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount ends up with just a little something for us to take heed to. Talks about a man that built his house upon a rock. Another man built his house upon the sand. You know what it said? The floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on both houses. You know, we're going to have storms come into our life, regardless of being a Christian. And you know, the devil would like to make us think it's only the Christians that have trouble. But you know what this said? Storms come to both. It's just that one has a solid foundation that can take them through, and one has sinking sand underneath it that when the storm hits, it's going to fall. I want to be able to make it. You know how a flood came to Job? We get to read about his story. And it's so easy to just, I've heard it since I was a little child and I can read through it. I can quickly move through it. You know, those are some serious times for Job. And it would be good if in the first verse of the first chapter of Job, God had a little meeting with Job and said, Job, I want to tell you what's fitting to happen. I'm going to recommend you to Satan of how good you've been living. And I sure would like for you to stand by me. He didn't say any of that. I don't never see in the whole book of Job, God coming to him and telling him what he was doing back there. Job just saw troubles coming his way. But I tell you, I believe he had laid hold on eternal life. He saw something out here that is bigger than all these things. What does God do? He comes to Satan and he says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you ever wondered, has he ever done that again to Satan about a Christian? With confidence that he could tell Satan, have you considered this one here? I know that you've won a lot of people. You've taken a lot of people over into sin. But have you considered this one that is faithful to me? And release. What did Satan say? Well, yeah, he's living for you. You've got a hedge about him. You cause him to prosper in everything that he does. But I tell you what, if you will take those earthly possessions, I know what he'll do. He'll curse you to your face. And God says, go ahead. You know, that's a lot of difficulty to come into a life. I can read that whole first chapter in just a couple minutes. That was a major event. While one servant is speaking, they just killed the servants. They have taken these animals You know, that's just temporal possessions.
Yes.
I could quickly turn loose of those.
Yes.
But when they come and say, you know what, this was not the Sabaeans that blew up a bomb and caused the house to fall and kill the children. There was a storm came.
Yes.
You know where storms come from? We say that God allows them. They're dead now because of something that God could have controlled.
Lord.
And what did Job say? The Lord gave. The Lord took away. You know, he didn't blame anybody for what was happening in his life. For me to lay hold on eternal life, I'm going to have to remove the names of people that have done it and say, God is testing me as I lay hold on eternal life.
Yes.
And then the second chapter comes. And you know, Satan says, I still understand about a man. God comes to him again and says, how about it now? You see how he's been living? He's still faithful to me.
Yes.
Even though you cause all these things to be taken. And Satan thinks he has him figured out. Skin for skin. All that a man has, he'll give it to be well. And he says, you know, there's a consolation to me in that whole story. God's in control of the burners. He did not allow anything to happen that he did not allow to go through himself first. He gave Satan this much room. Okay, you can touch his flesh, but you cannot take his life. I am thankful that today we can have that same assurance in our life. And you know, next time you have a storm come into your life, take this thought with you.
Amen.
What if God is trying to prove me faithful to Satan? I say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
So when the trouble came to him and his wife said, Job, you ought to just curse God and die. You know, he could have easily said, I kind of feel like it myself, but he didn't do it. He said, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Are we supposed to accept the good things that God sends into our life, but we don't want the bad things that happen in our life? Again, what did he say? He did not charge God foolishly. You know, if I can realize the things that happen in my life, God has some plan for them. And there are some places where Job said, though he slay me, now this is laying hold on eternal life.
Yes.
Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him.
Yes.
He said also, I had a place where I looked on the left hand and on the right hand.
Yes.
The places where I used to could commune with God. I knew I could meet him right there.
Yes.
I looked on the left, I looked on the right, in all those places, and I couldn't find him. Did he say I quit? He said, he knows the way I take.
Yes.
When he hath called me, I'm going to come forth as gold.
Yes.
See, that's the places where
Hallelujah.
I have made up my mind. I've got a grip on God, and I won't let it go.
Thank the Lord.
Should opposition come, should troubles come to us, that I still have, what is the song going to keep on? And it's like that song rehearses it over and over. I mean to go right on.
Amen.
How many times in that chorus? I'm going on. I'm going. You don't even have to ask what's the title of that song. It's I'm going on. For us to be able to do that. And sometimes I think those songs, when I sing them, I say, well, did you really need to put that many times in there? Yes, they did. Because sometimes
Lord.
We need that many reminders.
Yes.
Come on. Keep on going.
Yes.
There's troubles here, but we're going to go through because I'm going to lay hold. Fight the good fight of faith. Not just fight the good fight of faith, but lay hold on
Amen.
Eternal life. That all of my decisions from this point until I make it out to heaven, I'm laying hold on eternal life. I want to be able to have that. I want to tell you about Cheryl laid hold on eternal life. And left me an example of how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was confirmed to her, you have cancer and it has spread. You know what? We're human. And you know what happens? We fear. What does the future hold? But I love another story of somebody that laid hold on eternal life. They were at a place where they said, Jehoshaphat, he's got a big army coming up against him. He doesn't know what to do. You know what happened when they, thank you, when they came against him with the report? You've got a huge multitude coming against you. He feared. You know, I'm glad they put that in the Bible. I'm glad he wasn't so strong that he said, won't bother me a bit. But instead he feared. And he left me an example of what to do with my fears. Because there were other times in the Bible that the children of Israel feared. Had the same kind of incident coming. There's a huge army coming up against you. Mm-hmm. We're scared now. But you know what? There was a difference between the two. There was other times when they feared and they called for the Egyptians. Can I pay you to come fight with us? But instead, what Jehoshaphat did, he feared and it said he set himself to seek the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. Yes, I'm scared. I'm shaking. But I tell you what, I'm going to set myself to seek the Lord. And he did. And he has a success story, so I'd like to follow the things that he did. First thing he did was magnified who God was. He reminded God. God really didn't need to be reminded of who he was. God knew who he was. But it was just, God, I'm telling you how my mind takes you in. You are great. You are well able to help us. And again, there's another lesson for me to learn in this. He didn't tell God how God should do his business. You know what he did? He said, here we are. We don't have any might in ourselves. We and our wives and our children, we're just standing before you, waiting for you to work. You know what? He was allowing God to just do whatever you want with us. We have a confidence that you will do what is best. And I saw that happen with Cheryl. To put her hand in the Lord's. You know, the scripture tells us we can tell the Lord exactly what we want to happen. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm thankful for that. Have you ever given God a request? Lord, I've been well for a long time. I want you to put one sickness on me. I don't ever pray that way. They seem like they come often enough by themselves. I don't ever say, Lord, I've not had anybody go against me for a long time. I think I need that trial. I don't. My prayers are always, Lord, get me out of this trouble that I'm in. But it says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I get to tell him, and we did, time and time again. Lord, here's what we would love. Healing. But you know what? There's also a place where Jesus said, I've got a peace that I want to give you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. You know, the peace that the world can give is when somebody tells you you're cancer free. Boy, that just feels like a wonderful feeling. Jesus has a peace to give us in the middle of a storm because he is in control of everything. There is something, too, that has come to me in the last few weeks. You know, the devil would like to tell us, if you trust the Lord, you just might die. You know what we need to realize? Every one of us is going to die to get out of here. I understand that no one will get out of here alive. Something is going to take us sometime. So we will come to some place where even man is going to have to say, I've taken you as far as I can take you. I want to tell you, I am so impressed by how Cheryl built trust This is about relationship. This is not about rules. Rules will not hold us in the storm. We must build a confidence in God. Job did not question whether this was God's doing or not. You know, Job had been offering sacrifices. He had been what was acceptable back then. Job had been faithful in doing those things to the point that when trouble came his way, he could say, the Lord's allowing this to happen. And we can be successful. Cheryl had a promise that she kept. Someone had made it a big sign, and she kept it over her bed. Okay. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.
Amen.
You know, that's a promise.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Now, I can say what that means is, I'm going to have good times come into my life. No, what it says is I'm going to walk with you all the way through it.
Yes.
And you know what? When she died, I didn't take that sign down because I need it myself.
Yes.
He has promised for every one of us, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He has promised to walk with us one day at a time and take us to glory. Our part is to lay hold on eternal life and to fight the good fight of faith. You know, we read that story and it seems like something that cannot be obtained. Enoch walked with God and he was not because the Lord took him. You know, we can have that same testimony. We walked with God and God took us. The only difference is God took him in a different way. But you know, we can have the same testimony that is said of us. He walked with God, and one day God just took him home.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it won't be. What does it say about Enoch? He had, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Yes.
Folks, you know what? Every one of us can die with that testimony.
Right,
he pleased God. And what will be better than to hear, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You know what? If we could get just, see, each one of us have our own cloud of witnesses. Faithful people that you know, faithful people that I know that have gone through. If that cloud of witnesses, just a few of them today could come back and say, Dan, sit down for a minute. I want to tell them about heaven. I want to tell them about that place. You know, it was only 9 months before Cheryl died that her dad died. You know what kind of confidence we can have? I told her, I said, he's there waiting for you. This is not going to be something you got to go explore it by yourself. He's already had a little time to check it out. And you know, in my mind, you know, we can look at some of these things, the world does, and says, you know what? Cancer is like a monster. It killed my wife. But I've told this before, and I want to tell you again. The Lord, the next night, paid me a visit. And he said, the Christians should not look at it that way. I provided her a vehicle that would take her to the gates of heaven. Now, if you had a choice of vehicles, would you ride in an old stick shift or would you ride in a Cadillac? You know what? I'd like to go to heaven in a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Climate control, comfort, seating. I mean, you don't even feel the bumps in the road. All of us would. Had I the choosing of my pathway, I would love to go with no troubles in my life.
That's right.
But you know what it says? He leadeth true. I will not question because he knows what I need to be able to make it there. And in my mind, I could see that night. You've got to do some submitting. It's going to take some consecrating to be willing to take the vehicle he provides. But she consecrated to it. I could see that night that the Lord took her, that she drove it right up to heaven's gates. Got out of it and stepped through the gate.
Yes.
And there was something else that was kind of special to me. She left the keys in it. You know, you don't leave your keys in your car out here because somebody might take it. She left the keys in that one because nobody wants that ride that she had to take. There ain't nobody to say, if I could choose coming from here to heaven, I'll take cancer. Uh-uh. But what we have, each one of us, God makes a choice.
Yes.
And you know where that peace comes from? Is when I say, Lord, I accept your will for my life. Heaven will surely be worth it all if we will be faithful. There's a song that says, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. You know, everything around us is shaking.
Yeah.
It says, build your hopes on things eternal.
Hold
to God's unchanging hand.
Yes,
it says, trust in him who will not leave you, whatsoever the years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, what you do, you give it up, still more closely to him cling. Let all of these things drive us closer to the Lord, laying hold on eternal life. It says, covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. You know what it says about riches? They can take wings and fly away. And if I have put my hope in those things, there goes my confidence. This one says, that so rapidly decay. But do something else. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. Where do we see that? Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Because, what is it? I'm laying hold on eternal life. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair, and bright, the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to his hand, to God's unchanging hand.
Yes.
Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We have quite a contrast in the Bible between the verses that we just talked about, Colossians 3. Set your affections on things above. What about the one in Luke 12 that says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses? The world says it does. But when I'm laying hold on eternal life, I hold these things loosely over here because my desire is for over there. Because remember where it says, then the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and his heart was all wrapped up in everything here. Going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build greater. What did he hear? Thou fool. This night, your soul is going to be required of you. And then whose will all these things be? Does it tell us don't work a job, don't save any money? What it does tell us is don't set your heart on it. Let do those things, but realizing we're given a little example in Hebrews where it says, there was a group of people that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through here.
Yes.
You know how hard it is for me to keep that really in my mind? Dan, you're just moving through here. You'll be gone as others have been. Don't set your heart on these things. Don't let your affections go to them. Using but not abusing the things that God has given us.
Yes.
Quite a contrast. And I get to make decisions about it. You know, we sing the song in 223, I mean to go right on. That's my choice. That's my decision. But you know, I've got to do more than just sing it. I've got choices that I got to make, that I get to make, and they tell the Lord how much I mean to go right on. But I want to be able to be successful because one of those verses says, I see a shining crown.
Yes.
Awaiting over there. I need to see that always, that picture. I believe that's what kept Paul, was when he could just, well, he had the same thing as I did. He had some kind of an affliction that he wanted to be rid of. Have you ever wanted any of yours to stay? Uh-uh. We'd all like to be rid of the troubles and afflictions in our body or whatever it was that his was. to the point that he prayed three times for deliverance from that. And you know what he got back from it? I've got grace sufficient for you. Folks, I tell you, grace is going to be very valuable. Sometimes I would think of grace as being unmerited favor, and that's true, nothing we deserve from God. But I also like to think of grace as being God's divine power that he gives us in our life, his influence. You know, I can even say God's power, but if it's not available to me, it won't help me out very much. But his influence to be able to help me to go in the right direction. But I've got to have laid hold on eternal life with my decisions. And I want to be able to do that. You know, Brother Ulysses Phillips had a song. Their light and life without an end into eternity are going to just blend. You know how great it would be to breathe your last breath and it's just a blending. It's not a big, you know, we read that song 409 about the crashing of ages. You know, some people's life is like that. I set everything here and now there's a big crash and I'm going out into eternity. That's not the way the Lord wants it for us. He wants us to have a view of this over here. And I'm working to gain that crown day by day to where when he calls me home, that it would just be a blend from this life into that life. It's available for all of us. Paul said, at the end of it all, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown. And you know, I'm glad he didn't stop there. They said it's not for me only, but it's for everybody that loves his appearing. You know, I think God had special mercy on Cheryl. For 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks of her life, she was in the hospital bed, could not turn over on her own. And you know, when you get in that condition, you'd like to go on and be with Jesus. You know what? We can't die just because we want to. God has an appointed time for all of us. And he had an appointed time for her. She was on hospice, and on a Wednesday evening, they paid their weekly visit to just see how she's doing. They would check her vitals, how's your blood pressure and all. And Cheryl asked them, said, hey, can you tell me, am I anywhere close to the end? They said, your vitals are so good, you're going to be here for a long time. Well, you know, that's another consecration for Cheryl. You know what happened that night? God turned it. 24 hours later, she's in heaven.
Thank the Lord.
You know, we can say, oh, that's a big loss. Oh, that's a big gain.
That's right.
She will never be tempted by Satan again. And as she was breathing her last, I told her what Paul had as a testimony. Cheryl, you fought a good fight.
Yes, amen.
You kept the faith.
Yes.
You finished your course. And there is a crown laid up for you. You know, we can go through life with a sadness, but I have to every day say, thank you, Lord. I laid hold on eternal life, and she made it. We still have a fight on our hands. You know, one thing I learned from that, Satan doesn't say, you know what, they've lived all these years faithful. I'm going to not bother them now as they approach death. He will put on more fight then because he knows it's almost at an end. But you know what it says? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. You know, her passing was so easy. It was just, and it was only maybe 10 minutes before that, Brother Ivan had called and prayed for her on the phone. And when he finished, she even thanked him. And then she kind of went into a sleep. And we noticed her breathing getting a little easier, a little easier. There was no struggle. I could just see the transition. It's like I was able to walk her to heaven's gate. And pass her to Jesus. Folks, that's not a loss. That's a gain. Because now I'm left to make it. You know what? You are too. And the devil is not going to stop with any one of us. But we can make it. And I want to finish with a song. Whatever it takes. It says, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And it whispers, draw closer to me. You know what? For me to make heaven my home, it's going to take more than just desire. It's going to take me telling him whatever it takes. You know, Cheryl had that herself. She said, I have told the Lord throughout my life, whatever it takes for me to make heaven, send it. You know what happened when this came? I believe the Lord has answered my request, and I will accept it. Leave the world far behind. There are new heights to climb.
Yes.
And a new place in me you will find. It says, take the dearest things to me. You know, it had to have been harder for Job when the news came to him that all of his children were gone than just that he had lost his camels. There's a difference there. But it says, take the dearest things to me if that's how it must be, if it'll draw me closer to thee. Let my disappointments come, lonely days without the sun, if in sorrow more like you I'll become. Have you ever read the book, Hinds Feet on High Places? We pulled that book out and read it together with Cheryl in her last days. Because I used to think that Hinds Feet on High Places was about the same thing as Christian on his way to the celestial city. It's not about that. What it's about is in this life, the fears that can come to us. I want to go, what does it say? I want new heights to climb, and I want to get there, but I want to get there real easy. This girl in this story, much afraid, she wanted to go to the high places. And the shepherd told her, you can go. In fact, I'm going to provide you two companions. They will be the best means of you making it there. She asked, she said, what's their name? Sorrow and suffering will be your best way to be able to make it there. And he said, at any time on this journey, you call for me and I'll be there. There was a place they're still headed toward where she knows she's going, the high places. And then it turns and they head toward the desert. And she says, stop, this is the wrong way. Here's where we're supposed to go. Shepherd came to her and said, oh no, this is the way to the high places. The desert is part of the journey. She went down in there to where it said there's no living plants, nothing there, just desert. And she comes to these huts and there's a water tank outside and a pipe going into the huts. And the pipe has a little drip. And it drips just a little water onto the desert floor. And there was a beautiful flower. And the name of the flower was acceptance. You know, we can accept things, but this one was acceptance with joy. To be able to take the things that the Lord puts in my life and accept them with joy in the part that this is part of my plan, the plan God has for me to make heaven my home. And it's up to me to lay hold on eternal life. This song says, take my houses and lands, my dreams, my plans. I'm placing my whole life. That's one thing to sing this song as a special when everything is going good. It's another thing to say, This still is my consecration to you. If you call me someday to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. I'll trade sunshine for rain. You know, the only reason I can do that. I'll trade comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. The only way I can do that is I've got a vision of heaven out ahead. I have already laid hold on eternal life, and whatever you need to send to me, Lord, to help me to make it, I'll accept it. Whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You know, we're living in a time where the religious world will tell you all you need to do is believe on Jesus and you'll be saved. And you know what? I would be very happy if Jesus would accept every one of them on that level. But you know what? He's given us more understanding of what it's going to take. It's going to take some consecrations in my life. Cheryl came to those places. You know, it's hard to be willing to trade health for no health. There was a time where she was, even though she had the cancer, she could still get around. But you know, the time came where, you remember the little buggy that Aunt Nelda had here? Well, Ron got it after she passed away, and he brought it over to Cheryl. Cheryl could still walk. And she told me after he left, she said, "Put that thing up. I don't want to see it." Because it's a reminder of where I could be going. Right. You know, in our life, we talk about sanctification. It's more than just a theory. It's throughout my life where I consecrate to this. You know, the time came that she had to consecrate to, you know what, if I still want to get around, I'm going to have to consecrate to moving around in a buggy. And then when it came to the hospital bed, never to get up again, you know what, there's another consecration, because here's the danger for us. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know, that we don't blame God, but I realize that, Lord, you're up here. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I've laid hold on eternal life. Whatever it takes, by God's help, I'm going to make it. I want each of you to make it. You know, we don't have, there's been a lot of changes of people that have passed away just in the years that we've been coming here.
Yes.
Not just here, but just across the board among the church. For the ones that had just in the last month, the three that have gone, and it's just, folks, we've got to get us a good hold on eternal life so that whatever it takes. You know, Job, he didn't let go. Lost his health, lost his family. But he said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I have laid hold on eternal life. We're not able to do it in ourselves. But we also do have a part to play. Once we have made that decision and we show the Lord, I'm willing to put my all into it, he comes in with the grace that we need to be able to carry us through. And I'm thankful for that. Let's all lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because we have that song that says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Let's keep a good vision of heaven out ahead. In all these, the turmoil of what we're, where we are right now, you know what, and this is an election year, we can get caught up in the turmoil of politics and all the time lay hold on eternal life. There's other distractions that can cause you to lose your grip on eternal life. Lord, help us. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, I want to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.